Lisa, your handwriting is like a doctor. I was looking at you. Is this Leanna?
I knew you were struggling with that.
Lisa, it'd be wonderful to hear from you.
I'll clean it up next time, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, everybody, Mr. Mayor, Assembly members. Letha Rakuliev, Hospital Administrator and Vice President for Search. Haven't been here since I first started, so happy to be here. I only have a couple of items that I would like to share with you. The Wrangell Sentinel has already covered the most exciting part, I think, unless I know the check is already out of the bag. But we at Wrangell Medical Center received a couple of awards this year from the Alaska State Nursing Home Association, and I felt like it was appropriate since the city of Wrangell owned the hospital during a portion of that award year. So thanks to Caleb, he covered a really good article in the paper, and if you did not read it, I have the press releases for you. And then the other piece, I would like to invite, if I may, Kathy Gross up here. Kathy also received a quality award through the Nursing Home Association. I'm not normally a reader, but I'm going to read this. Kathy Gross, a registered health information technician and exemplary employee, was awarded as the Frontline Staff Outstanding Performance Award by the Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association. Kathy will be honored for her years of dedication in enhancing quality care and patient safety in the acute and long care units at Search Wrangell Medical Center during ASHNA's annual conference on September 26th in Girdwood. For the past 31 years, Kathy has served the community of Wrangell as an integral member of the WMC team. Kathy has been crucial in WMC's vast improvement in patient quality, including awards recently bestowed on WMC's long-term care. Congratulations. So we have not yet received our actual pans. They're gold pans, and we'll be happy to sit down. I'll be happy to share them with you. If you want to split them, you could have them in your lobby half a year and half in my lobby if you want to do that. They're very decorative. So I have the press release here and also the ASHNA press release, if you would like to distribute those. And lastly, I have a check for you guys, and I understand. I get the honor of awarding the last check to close out the merger deal for $228,000. So, who do I give? Right here. Anybody? Should I just start piecing it out for you?
She'll put that in the safe.
We think. What? Can I impose on you while you're here? Could you give the assembly and folks that are listening in an update on how the new hospital is coming? And
yes,
that's such exciting.
I'm happy to answer any questions. But yes, the new hospital has been a little delayed. We had some issue with getting the steel here. We're working on getting a new timeline, hopefully by this week. I'm praying January 2021 still, but it's all really going to be dependent on the rest of our materials getting here. If you've been up the road, you've seen the steel is actually going up. We're pushing hard on them, and we're pushing them to, we were technically supposed to be in, October, November-ish of 2020. So right now it looks like they're a little bit behind. So, one exciting thing, I'm not sure if you're going to vote on it tonight.
We are.
So don't talk about it.
No, we are. It's on our agenda.
We're very excited about that as well. I'll let you announce whatever we're going to do. But so yes, happy to give every other month updates as we really start moving and progressing. Aaron Ingerman should be posting videos. So if you haven't seen the videos on Facebook, let me know. Or let Aaron know, or you can tell me in class.
Body pump.
We do body pump together.
That's great. Perfect. Any other questions for Letha while she's here?
Any other questions about the hospital? current hospital. I think we're really, really busy. Volumes have increased. We have 14 long-term care residents, which I'm very excited about. I know we worked hard on that last one, all of us did, of placing him in there. So, yeah, it's been really, really busy. Our volumes have gone up. We're actually exceeding Sitka's volumes, which I'm very excited about because I'm a competitive person. So,
well, there you go. We're number one.
Yeah. We're making money. We're making money this year.
That's good. Yes. Good job. Congratulations.
Should we send a na-na-na-na-na-na-na message to Sitka?
You know, I kind of do that already when I give a report.
Well, Letha, thank you very much for coming down, and we really appreciate the efforts that Search has put forward and everything that you do for the community. Every time I turn around, there's something else going on that I see that you guys are sponsoring and working with, and I can't say enough. I was at AML speaking with some mayors, and they were asking me, digging about how it went, and you know, I can only say good things. That everything that we ask you to do for the community, you guys have done, lived up to, including chemotherapy and helping out and getting families where they need to be. So we really appreciate it.
Thank you. And I understand Southeast Conference is going to be here in 2021.
Mm-hmm. 2021.
Because of the hospital.
And we'd like it if you could empty the long-term care because we need beds for people to sleep in. So if your census is down.
They're going to give me $800 a day this time.
Sure, it's AML.
Can we get a group conference rate? Yeah.
Thanks very much, Letha.
All right. Thank you
appreciate
so much.
It. Okay. There's no other people under persons to be heard. Is there any amendments to the agenda?
Mr. Yep. Mayor, I have a couple of amendments. The first is, would it be okay with the Assembly if we moved item G up to be item B? That way, Letha doesn't have to stay through the entire meeting.
So item G to where?
Oh, did she leave?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind then.
Never mind.
Let's just leave it where it's at. Apparently she thought that was a done deal.
She got her gold pen and she's out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, we'll just leave it the way it is.
The second item, Mr. Mayor, is that item B under 15, the second executive session, can be removed. We do not.
Okay, so that was the executive session discussion of legal strategies related to the collection of mortgage fees.
Correct.
That is going to be removed.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Letha. Mm-hmm. Any other amendments to the agenda? Assemblymember Gilbert.
We could move item F, 13F, up.
Oh, yes.
To save our...
Our fire chief,
and what about the public school?
Oh, yeah, yes. Thank you, Assemblymember Gilbert, yes.
F and J?
No, I'd like to keep J where it is. Josh should sit through the entire meeting. All right, let's move those up to, so the fire
after
department
a.
one.
After.
Yeah, we'll just move it after A. So F and J will be concurrent after A.
Right.
F and then J. Okay, Josh, you're off the hook. All right, so any other amendments to the agenda? Any conflicts of interest from anyone? Yes, Jim.
Well, and G and H, I'm a employee of Wrangell Medical Center, Search.
Thank you. Either of these items, would they directly benefit you or a family member financially or otherwise?
No, since it's just the pharmacy.
Just that... It's just where you work. I think we're fine with that. Does any assembly member have a conflict with that? Thank you. Okay. Any other conflicts to be declared? Okay. Can we move to the consent agenda, please?
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
We moved and seconded. Is there any comments, Patty?
I'd like our borough manager to talk on the item APEI.
Yeah.
We received a letter, and it stated that there were a variety of services that they offered. Mm-hmm. And I asked our borough manager if we took advantage of those services, and she said, yes, we do.
We do.
And I'd like her to tell the listening public what those services are.
So the first bullet item there is on-site and online training for staff, management, and governing bodies. And Alicia actually has been working with the APEI staff, and we will be having a manager boot camp the first week we're here for our department head, staff, and supervisors. And actually, APEI just got a hold of Alicia and said, is it okay if we invite the school district? And we've got some folks from, I think, Petersburg or and Prince of Wales Island, from Craig, who are interested. And I said yes. So I think we're going to check and see if we can move that to the Nolan Center to accommodate as many people as possible. We also take advantage, I mean, there's a number of things that we do here. Alicia gets a hold of them regularly for a number of different items, but we also take advantage of the safety grants. This year we used the safety grant money that we get to purchase the bulletproof whiteboards and stuff for our frontline staff, just because there's been a concern about workplace violence potentially. And previously those have been used, I think, for, you know, like grippies and safety glasses and other things like that. So we definitely take advantage of that. So Alicia is actually working, you can get premium credits for our insurance rates, and Alicia has put together a list of those things. And if certain percentages of our staff get training and other things, we get credits, and then we get deductions on our insurance premiums. And so Alicia is working on that and has provided that information to me. And this boot camp is going to help us in that regard to help gain us some points toward credits and offsetting our premiums. So we definitely take advantage of some of these things.
And we include the schools in as much as possible?
We certainly will, yes. Yeah. I mean, we have separate policies, so they would need to take care of some of these things on their own. But where we have the ability to do joint training and things like that, absolutely. Yeah.
So, Patty, is that?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So, Lisa, the question I had is they are demanding that any termination of an employee that you have to consult an attorney. Do they provide that attorney, or is that part of our expense to contract with our attorney every time we let somebody go?
So we, earlier this calendar year, had to go through a termination, and I contacted our attorney to say, it looks like we're going to be doing a termination. I just need to walk through this with you. And he said, first thing you need to do is get a hold of APEI. And APEI, I got a hold of APEI, and APEI said, we just need to make sure that you are acting on the advice of your attorney. And the reason that they do that is because if a municipality does not act on the advice of an attorney and there is a suit that follows, APEI will not pay for that suit. And as much as I hate to bring this to your attention, we as staff are aware of this and follow this if I as administration are doing a termination. But the reason that this was directly sent to you as an assembly body, this went to all of the clients of APEI, and I had this discussion with Susan Erickson, is it went to you because you as an assembly need to know if you want to fire me or you want to fire the clerk who are your contract employees, you too need to consult with an attorney and follow the advice of an attorney before you do that. And my assumption is the reason they sent this out to the governing bodies is because likely there was a recent termination in which the advice of an attorney was either not consulted or followed, and it resulted in a suit. And so what they're doing is giving fair warning to assemblies that you maybe shouldn't just walk into a meeting and go, you're fired. Maybe you should talk to an attorney first.
Well, and I think that's fine. I just find every time everything we do, we have to talk to an attorney.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're trying to impound a boat in the harbor. We've got to talk to an attorney, and it gets complicated. Next thing you know, we're talking about maritime law from 1862. And I'm just like, I guess that's just where we're at. But it adds thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to just the general business of a municipality.
That's correct. It does.
And especially municipalities that don't have an attorney on staff. So that was my only, I was like, well, maybe do they provide the attorney? That'd be kind of sweet if they provided that legal advice, but they don't. Okay. Any other questions on any of the consent agenda items? Somebody like to make a motion?
We have a motion.
Can we call the roll, please?
Sure. Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Borough Manager's report?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a handful of items. So I wanted to let you know we got an update from our federal lobbyist about the pink salmon disaster relief, and the Pacific State Marine Fisheries Commission has started to take applications from recipients, with fishermen required to submit their applications by October 31st, crew by January 31st, and processors also on October 31st. And the commission and or the state has been letting eligible entities and individuals know, but in case we start getting inquiries, we do have a link to FAQ thing that we can put on our website for people if they're interested. And there has been no word yet on the second application for local government funds, but as soon as we know something, we'll pass that on. So we just talked about the letter from APEI. The other thing I wanted to let you know is following our last assembly meeting, we reposted the police chief position, and we've received a handful of applicants, and I would like to start moving through that process. The position is open until filled, but we would like to we'd like to start moving on that. So I would like to do a process to shortlist some people for a more robust interview process. So I'm asking next Tuesday if an assembly member could meet with Lieutenant Smith and myself to do some what I would call short interviews. We're asked three or four questions via phone and make a determination from there if we want to move a candidate onto the next phase.
And I had requested to sit in on that as well. So we can have an assembly member, anybody interested?
And assembly member Gilbert and assembly member Powell previously sat on the committee, so I don't know either, if either one of them is still interested.
It's open to anybody, but
I'll do it.
Okay, David, thank you.
Okay.
So David and I will sit in. That was Tuesday at...
I don't have a time yet. We'll try to figure out... is Assembly Member Powell, I know your schedule is a little bit more limited. Is during the day okay?
That's fine.
Okay, all right.
Thank you, David.
Also, I will be getting an update to you both... to all of you on Powerhouse Building and Public Safety Building Rehab Project. We've had some additional new information come in on both of those things, so I'll get that out to you. I will be leaving tomorrow with the mayor to go to Petersburg for the SEPA board meeting, coming back on the Thursday afternoon flight, so just gone a little over 24 hours. Kim will be the acting borough manager while I'm out, and I sent an email out to all of the assembly and staff regarding that delegation. Joyce put together some notes on our investment policy. We had hoped to be able to bring that back to you at this meeting. We sent that off to Alaska Permanent Capital Management to review. They're still in the review process, and Joyce and I will be doing some additional work with them this week, but we will have a first draft to you at the next meeting. And then Joyce also asked me to pass on to you that she is intending to have you a July and August financial statement at the first meeting in October. She said she may be able to get September to you as well, but she'll for sure have August and September for you. And that will also include the aging report or the accounts receivable reports that you've been requesting. We'll have a travel report for you and an evaluation report on the next meeting also. And what else do we have going on here? I think that's the major stuff right now. I do have some other items I need to flesh out a little bit before I get them to you in a KYP message, but that's the big stuff for right now.
Question, Patty?
At the last meeting, didn't we say September 30 we were going to find out about that $3 million grant for our water treatment plant?
Yes.
Any word at all yet?
Okay, no. Nope.
So, just a couple things on water. We received that report from Wayne the other day regarding the flume and the condition of the flume, and it was quite startling to me, just the condition of it. Once you got a chance to cut all those trees out of the way, and we could see that literally some of the cribbing is being held up by trees, and it's in really rough shape. So my first question is, do we have a policy where that flume is inspected on a regular basis to ensure that it's adequate?
No, I don't believe that. I don't know of any policy that there is to inspect the flume regularly. I have had conversations today with both Wayne and the Public Works Director regarding the flume, and I've asked actually for a follow-up meeting so that we could talk about whether or not really a flume replacement project is in order. Roland, the Public Works Director, and Wayne have both said actually the integrity of the steel in the culverts is in good shape. It is warped in a number of different cases, number of different places, in a way that I think is probably not fixable. And there are some seam issues as well, and that's where the lining project comes in. My bigger concern is the support structure, and that's something that the Public Works Director and I have talked about. The area is very challenging, and so one of the things that we've started talking about is figuring out how we can get equipment in there to assist. When you look at the flume, it almost appears like it's sloughing. I mean, it's at an angle, it's kind of sloughing down the hill, and the timing in which it was built, I don't know that anybody's actually really knows what the time frame was. It is, as I understand it, before anybody's recollection in the Public Works Department at all, it was done, so nobody really knows. There's also an old random culvert adjacent to it, sort of hanging in the wind there. So we're having significant conversations about whether a relining project is enough. How do we do it? Can we replace some sections of it? I don't know. So we're starting to have those conversations and trying to figure out if there's a way that if a major rehab project should be done, can it be done in a manner so that it's done by May of next year? That's the conversation that we're starting to have right now.
And I think those are great questions. And having seen it, I would have to question if it's not better off putting in an actual pipe with a cement catchment at the base of the fault that actually catches that water and then directs it down an actual pipe to the lake. Because the flume only runs, I don't know how far, really, maybe 200 feet, 300 feet.
Yeah, 200, 300 feet.
Then it runs on the ground. So it's just, you're basically losing whatever.
One of the things that we're trying to manage, and one of the questions that I posed to Wayne, and he and I bantered back and forth a little bit about this via email today, is at what point do we get to where we have to involve engineering? And so if we go from a flume to a pipe, does that then require engineering? And I don't know at what point then we have to get something permitted through DEC as a part of our water system. So those are all questions we need to ask so that we don't scope creep this thing out of something that is unmanageable for us, because that's the last thing we want to do. But we also want to do something that is sustainable.
Right.
I would hate to spend the energy and the time it's going to take to line the flume if really what we need to do is be replacing whole sections of it first. So.
Sounds good. If we could... we should just have. I'm not letting up on water this year. I'm not going to wait till the spring when we're in a drought again. So I'd really like updates on where the siphon is at. Has it been moved to the center, and the piping, and the ozone replacement pipe project, the bypass project, all of those things. I want us to stay up on it. If we're going to wash sand or not wash sand, we need a plan moving forward on this water business. And I just, from my standpoint, it's not acceptable to wait till we're in trouble again.
Also, reservoir inspections, are they still being done weekly, at least weekly?
Daily.
Daily.
They go there, okay. They detect the weirs and
okay.
And is the assembly okay with that? I just don't want to be directive without the assembly agreeing along. Okay. Any other questions for Lisa?
Oh, Mr. Yeah. Mayor, I apologize. You did ask
over.
Me for an update on on the case, the Valvota lawsuit that we have, and I wanted to give everyone an update. So the City and Borough of Wrangell is named as a defendant now, as I'm sure you are aware. The borough's motion in response to Mr. Valvota's motion to add a defendant is due on September 30th of this year. And in preparation for that, our attorney deposed two members who have knowledge of whether or not it would be appropriate to add a defendant, and those depositions were done, and we have those emails, and I think those will be getting forwarded to you here shortly. Yesterday, our attorney appeared before Judge Miller for the trial scheduling conference, and an order will soon be issued setting the case for trial. A trial call date will be scheduled for August 10th, 2020, and a trial is scheduled to begin on Monday, August 24th, 2020, at 10:30 in the morning. However, that does not preclude us from filing other motions in the interim. I can't talk about legal strategy, obviously, but I just want to let you know, just because a trial date is being set does not mean that that is ultimately where we're going to end up. So I just wanted to let you know. And through August 31st of this year, we have spent roughly $17,100 on that, and that's 50%. APEI is picking up the other 50% of this, our insurance.
We've been
company.
Responsible for 50% of $17,000.
No, we have spent $17,000. That is 50%.
$35,000 thus far in this lawsuit.
On this lawsuit, mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
Bro, sorry, any other questions for Lisa on anything? Thank you, Lisa. Mm-hmm. Bro, clerk's file.
Not a whole lot. First, I do want to thank Alicia for filling in for me when I was gone. I really appreciate it, and I knew she'd do a great job. So, second thing, we're gearing up for the election a week from today, on Tuesday. So Friday is the last day to file for write-in candidates, if anybody wanted to file for a write-in candidate. And then Monday will be the last, at 4 o'clock will be the last day for anybody to absentee vote. So the election at the Nolan Center will be from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And yeah, I'm really excited. Come out and vote, please. So, and then also the other thing that is not on in your packet, but it's for item 13, was C, now E, the request to hold the special meeting to certify the regular election for Monday, October 7th. I'm looking at changing that, and we can talk about it more when that item comes up, but I want to see about having that on October 4th on Friday, or even October 3rd, which is Thursday, after the canvas board meets. Thank you. And so the reason being for that is that I'm planning on leaving on Monday, October 7th, to Anchorage for public information officer training so that I can obtain the skills to be a public information officer. Right now, I just kind of wing it, and I've taken 4 prerequisite classes to be able to do that, and it's actually, there's a lot to it. So, but the Homeland Security provides that training for free. We just have to pay for the hotel and the airfare and stuff like that. So we can talk about more of that when item 13E comes up. And other than that, I don't have anything.
Unless any questions for Kim? For me.
I have a do-over, but we can skip it.
What's that?
I said I have a do-over, but
nope,
we can skip
not
it.
Not happening. Go ahead, Lisa.
No, I wanted to let the assembly know one of the things that there were a number of us that were at Southeast Conference, and if anybody is interested in getting an update on it, please see me, and I'm happy to talk about that, as I'm sure is the mayor, assembly member DeLong, Roland Howell, the public works director, Cine, or Carol, either one of them would be happy to talk about Southeast Conference. But some of the things that happen at Southeast Conference happen on the sidelines, and I actually was taking a walk with Melani Shivens and just getting some air outside on one of the breaks, and she happened to mention a comment that a member of the Denali Commission staff made. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Denali Commission, but after there was a presentation actually that I requested at Southeast Conference where municipal managers got up and spoke about economic development projects happening in their communities. And during that presentation, a representative from the Denali Commission said, well, we have some funding. Well, I didn't realize that the Denali Commission was getting funding for things, and actually this is new. Their funding has been very strictly reserved for compromised communities in the last several years, and they are now getting money to the tune of about $15 million, $17 million that can be spent on things, and they have money for
water and sewer and solid waste and transportation and other things, not a lot. And they are getting ready to open up a portal for project submission, but I asked if I could submit something in advance. That project portal won't be open until the end of October. And they have actually not put together criteria or rating for how they are going to determine what projects get funded or how they determine what's going to be funded. So I've been working with Roland actually since yesterday to get some information together so that I could submit information on the baler that we need, the improvements that we need, and some water and sewer stuff, and maybe some surface improvements. So that's one of the really beneficial things that comes up when you're quite by chance when you're at some of these conferences. So I just wanted to let you know we're maybe working on a funding option there. And my other do-over that I completely forgot about, and I'm sorry, is I had an outstanding meeting with Esther Ashton from WCA about a week ago. And part of what came out of that meeting was I got invited to attend a Tlingit language class. And I went to my first Tlingit language class yesterday, and what a privilege it was. And I really want to say thank you to Esther for the invitation and to Virginia Oliver for teaching. I mean, really outstanding. I am horrible. I can't even tell you how difficult it is to train yourself to pronounce some of the words, but I'm going to give it the old college try. And what a great experience it was. I'm just tickled to be able to do this. So our next class is on the 1st, and hopefully I'll be able to provide a lesson at our meetings coming up on a word maybe every time.
Yeah, good.
I heard she did rather well. I heard you did rather well.
Thanks.
But you know German, that maybe some of that translated that you have spoken other languages. So.
Yeah, maybe we'll see.
Good stuff. So, Lisa, is there anything else?
No, I'm sorry.
You're good?
You're good.
Okay, well, let's move on then, because you're really blowing the pool here on when we're going to finish. All right. So, the Borough Clerk Fire with that. Mayor and Assembly Business. Is there any Assembly Business? Maya.
Yes. I just want to reiterate Southeast Conference again, if anybody wants to talk more in depth about some of the things that went on and what it represents. Also, that we are being chosen for 2021 to hold that conference, which is huge. I think it's going to put Wrangell under a microscope. And we have a lot of work in the next 2 years to do. And I also want to propose starting a committee to help that work get done. We need to set up, how we're going to entertain these people, feed these people, and show them what Wrangell has to offer.
Because house these people.
House these people, feed them. Hospitality to really group some of the professionals in our town. So really, it's 2 years away, but I propose starting a committee and I'd really love to be involved in a lot of that planning to give that united front that Wrangell needs. And it's going to take all of 2 years to really pull our resources and get the word out. And it's just a great conference and I want Wrangell to do the best job it can to welcome it here.
Awesome. So I think Maya has volunteered to help set up that committee, to chair that committee. So that's awesome.
It's going to be at the same time in 2 years, around like second or third week in September, or is that?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
That's what I was wondering.
Excellent. So Maya, I am saying that you need to get to Lisa and you guys, should be chairing that. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Other assembly business? I'll just give an update on the ferry. I was also at Southeast Conference and I had a chance to meet with Mayor Brain from Prince Rupert and Representative Ortiz as well. Mayor Brain went and met with the administration and was able to work out, it looks like, a short-term compromise and with a long-term strategy to maintain the port of Prince Rupert moving forward. The short-term plan involves the Prince Rupert is willing to put a member from the RCMP detachment at the customs office to meet the mandate of having armed protection for custom officers at least till the end of the year here, and I think into the spring. And then after that, looking at some creative ways to utilize possibly the BC ferry terminal and so on. But his comment to me was that the administration was extremely open to all of his ideas and we're willing to work with them. And this sounds like a little bit of a change from previously. Mm-hmm. So I'm quite heartened by that and we'll hopefully have some some more good news moving forward. That port is incredibly important to our community. So, yeah, that's the update on that.
I have an update, too. Just a brief one on Friends of the Museum. We had a good meeting last week. Might have been the week before. Time flies and you're having fun. Had a report on the last special exhibit that Cindy pulled together, the photographs. Financial report. We had $6,000 in membership fees, and we will buy for the museum $3,000 worth of display cubes for future displays. And Cindy is now working on an exhibit on sunken ships, and I think Gig Decker is going to be doing a presentation during that. So.
Excellent.
So they're working on things, you know, as we go along. So it's a good deal. And I'm going to be bringing membership cards for all of you to sign. Give me money, too. Next meeting.
And I just want to say how nice it looks. The roof is getting done. Very, very pleased. Big shout out to John Taylor for power washing away. Any other updates from the assembly? Okay, Mayor and Assembly appointments, there are none. Public hearing, there isn't any. There's no unfinished business. So we're moving on to new business. 1A, approval to refund overpayment property taxes to Arnold and Alice Backey.
Move to approve refund of overpayment of property taxes to Arnold and Alice Backey.
Second.
We moved and seconded. Discussion. Lisa, would you please give us an update on this?
Certainly I will. So, Mr. Mayor, it appears that since the time that the Backeys constructed their home in 1994, that the assessors wrongly made the assumption that there was an apartment in the house. And rather than charging them, I'm sorry, rather than valuing the space at $12.87 a foot, as it should have been basically for open space, it was assessed at $20 a square foot for an apartment. And that's been going on, again, since the home was constructed in 1994. The Kellers first brought this issue to the administration and to the assembly in 2013 after Helen Keller did a review of her parents' tax information and saw that there was a huge jump in the assessment, that there was just a random error that was made in 2013, and she brought that to the assessor's attention, and the assessor fixed the random error that put the Backeys assessment way above where it should be, and at that time also fixed the error in the valuation of the building, the section of the building that where they said there was an apartment. So from 1994 through the tax year 2012, they were paying an incorrect amount. And the Kellers, on behalf of the Backeys, came to us requesting a repayment in those overpaid taxes plus interest. And they first brought this, as I said, to the attention of the administration and the assembly in 2013, and were told that this issue could not be addressed because the tax year had closed. Normally, you would come before the Board of Adjustment in an appeal, and they were told that anything prior to that couldn't be addressed. Well, that is actually, in fact, not the case. And Helen Keller was able to speak to the state assessor, who showed her the appropriate state statute, and then she actually brought it to my attention last year. And I, at the time that they brought it to me, was unable to deal with it appropriately because I was doing hospital stuff. And my apologies to the Kellers and to the Backeys. It totally fell off the table for me after hospital stuff. And it got brought back to my attention after they readdressed it with the assessor this year. And so I called and had a meeting with them in July, and we started addressing this and working through the issue. And so what the Kellers did is they actually worked with an accountant to do the account of the taxes, the overpayment of taxes, and the interest accrued associated with that, and provided a spreadsheet where if we were to go all the way back to 1994, it would be just over $12,000 in overpaid taxes and interest for them. There is what's called a 6-year statute of limitations, and what is commonly used for tax-related stuff is what's called the civil law statute of limitations. I confirmed that with the state assessor this year. And so even though it's 2019, because the Kellers first brought this to our attention on behalf of the Backeys in 2013, and it could have been dealt with, I took the six-year statute of limitations and started it from 2012 back. And so my recommendation is that we give the Kellers the Backeys, a repayment of taxes on those 6 years from 2007 through 2012 year with 8% interest, as it says in state statute for this, and give them a repayment of the money that they paid to the accountant in the amount of $750 for them to bring this information together. So that's what administration is recommending. But I know the Backeys and the Kellers are here and would probably like to speak to this issue if you would like to.
Would you guys like to come up and speak on it? Yeah, come on up.